I love surprises. And I called up the Sterling Study Group website on my phone because I know later I'll be announcing what's coming next, and I always look at the website to see who the musicians are and who the speakers are. And I looked at my topic, and it wasn't what I thought I was talking about today. And so I have prepared a talk on perception, which is what I thought my topic was, but apparently what I told David my topic was perspective. But it's so interesting because at 6 o'clock this morning when I was doing my meditation, I got a whole page worth of notes on perspective and how it influences perception. And so I just laughed because Spirit obviously knew what I was talking about today, and David knew what I was talking about today. And I want to talk about perception, so I'm going to talk about both. And that makes me really happy. And I just love seeing the synchronicity of how everything always flows perfectly. There isn't anything I need to worry about. If I just relax and go with the impulses, everything always turns out right. And I love that Abraham Hicks says that we can affirm for ourselves, everything always works out for me. And just live in trust that no matter what it looks like in the moment, everything is in the process of working out. Another way I say that is even when it looks like something going wrong, it's actually something going right from a broader perspective. And when I expand my perspective, I feel like I understand why things that happened in the past that felt really wrong in the past turned out to be something that were actually moving me on the road to where it was I most wanted to go. And that feels really good to me. And so let me talk a little bit about some of the ideas that have come to me during the last month and some of the various things that I found that inspired me to think about this topic over the last few weeks. This morning, the most recent stuff that I discovered in my receiving ideas in my meditation this morning was about meaning. Because one of the things that I wrote down over the last few weeks is claim your power to decide what it means. Whatever you see, you decide what it means. And you have the power to change your decision about what it means. And so I was so intrigued that you talked about a song you wrote by the ocean, because what I received this morning was about the ocean and how people look at the ocean in different ways. And the fisherman looks at the ocean as his livelihood. And the lover looks at the ocean like romance. And the surfer looks like at the ocean for exhilaration and playfulness and excitement. The marine biologist looks at the ocean and sees life. The child looks at the ocean and sees playfulness and digging in the sand and splashing in the water. The lifeguard sees it as a reason for alertness and being aware of everything that's happening around the ocean on the shore. And the poet looks at the ocean or the songwriter and sees beauty and brings that into fruition through their creativity. And so all of these different perspectives of who the person is looking at this changes what they see when they look at it and makes meaning of it. And we tend to believe that the meaning exists and we are figuring it out, but the meaning doesn't exist until the consciousness is applied to it. And whatever consciousness is applied to it determines the meaning. So that was my first thought. And then I thought, oh, you know, this person looking at the ocean, they could all be the same person. This person could be a fisherman and a poet and a lover and a surfer and a marine biology student and a playful child within. this could all be the same person, wearing different roles, taking different perspectives, seeing something different in the moment, depending on which hat they were wearing in the moment. And all of that is true. And then you look at the filters of consciousness that we talk about all the time in here. And I did bring the map of human consciousness. I can't seem to give a talk without it, but I'm not going to pass it out today. I'm sure many, you've received it like 5 or 6 times, except from Christy maybe, and if you don't have it, I'll give it to you. But every level of consciousness sees the same thing differently as well. Not just the roles and the perspectives, but the vibration that you see attracts to you in the vibrations around you the thing that you see. And this wonderful quote from Abraham from the 10-10-13 Washington workshop, they said, "Your perception of the world is about your vibrational frequency, not about the condition of the world. The fact that anyone sees anything at all is an interpretation of vibration. It's all about the tuner. So whatever you're tuned to vibrationally is what you see. So your perspective and your perception of life is actually coming from your vibration. And so if we start with just the fisherman, let's start with a fisherman. If the fisherman's boat just sank, he might be feeling despair. So he could look at the ocean and his consciousness could experience despair. If he's just been out in a storm, he might be feeling fear. If he just sailed through a storm and mastered it, he might be feeling courage and delight, I can do it feeling. If he or she is getting ready to go out, he could be feeling willingness. I'm ready, all my equipment is here, I'm set to go. If he's checking the radar and the weather and the science of it and looking at his sonar thing to see where the fish are, he might be in the reason understanding mode of science and deliberateness. If he is out on the water and it's a glorious day and he's blessing this life that he's chosen because he loves being there, he could be feeling love and harmony. If he's just getting up and the sun is rising, he could be looking and feeling incredible joy and connection to the whole universe. And all of those things are vibrations. What he's perceiving in the moment are vibrations. So he could be up at sunrise and cursing the fact that he has to get up so early, or he could be expanding into the universe because he totally is one with the sun. And if he is like Jesus' disciples, he might look at the ocean and see miracles because he might be thinking about Jesus walking on the water or Peter walking on the water at Jesus' command. So the essence of how you experience whatever you're experiencing is about your vibration. It's about where you're looking from and what you're looking through. The filter is your vibration of the moment. What you're feeling changes what you see completely. And we have the power to change what we see. And I have several quotes from my books on this. As I was talking to the beloved, one day they said to me, "Every moment of every day in all of time is designed by us to be as good for you as possible. How good you perceive it to be is entirely up to you." So we have the power. The good is there. And how are we going to allow ourselves to see the good? And I saw a post on the Abraham list that said, this was from a woman named Jana, and she posted this in January, and I came across it, and she said, "I remember when I was 17, my boyfriend at the time gave me blue hyacinths in a pot. She said, I was so unloving, I wanted cut flowers. I was caught up in an image and not appreciating what was given. She said, every time I look at them now and smell them, I'm reminded how perfect that gift was. It makes me appreciate it so much more now that I know." But when we have expectations of what other people are going to do, and it doesn't happen, we get disappointed. And we can let go of our expectations and move with the flow of what's happening and more easily perceive the good that's already there. And acknowledging that in this moment there is good here, whether I'm seeing it or not. And I often include that in my prayers that I do for myself and with my clients. I say, you know, I claim for us the ability to see with the eyes of God. And I know that sometimes I don't, but I am allowing myself, I am willing in this moment to see with this broader perspective, to see the good, to see the love, to see the wholeness, to see the beauty that is always here. And I so often quote my friend Margie White, who says, life is in the details, and there's something in every scene that sparkles. And so look for the sparkles. You can ignore the rest of it a lot of the time. Sometimes when your face is right in it, you got to deal with it. But you don't have to take it with you when your face isn't right in it. You can let it go and focus on the sparkles that are here. You don't have to let your mind be absorbed about what happened 5 minutes ago or 2 days ago or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. You can allow yourself to focus on this moment and the perfection of this moment. And it changes what you see. It changes how you feel. And when you change how you feel, then you change the filter. You change the vibration. And so you see more of the sparkles. Law of attraction works that way. When you shift your focus, all of a sudden you allow yourself and you allow the universe to bring you more of what you want to see rather than the stuff you don't want to look at. I asked the beloved, I said, I'd like to talk more about opening to perceive the good that's already here, Bea. And they said, okay, see, people say that familiarity breeds contempt. But Bea said, more commonly, familiarity breeds blindness. Then you take for granted the good that's here for you, which leads you to the you don't know what you got until it's gone mode. And so we become so familiar with the fact that we have the vast majority of what we need virtually all the time that we forget to be grateful for it. We forget to notice it and appreciate it. And I responded back to them. I said, that's true, B. I'm always so much more grateful for good health when I've been sick for a few days. You know, I don't notice feeling healthy so much until I'm not healthy, and then I say, oh boy, I don't feel good. What do I want? I want to feel good. I want to feel vital. I want to feel alive. And then for a little while, when I wake up and I'm energized and I'm wanting to go do something, I appreciate it, and then I forget again, and then it's sort of a good thing that perhaps I get a little bit less than that one day, and I think again, oh, yeah, health is really valuable. I'm going to give thanks for it more often. So the essence of this seeing is allowing ourselves to raise in vibration, and when we appreciate, we always raise our vibration. Because appreciation is the vibration of love. And so whatever it is we can see to appreciate, we can look at Lavanya sitting over there and appreciate how exquisitely beautiful she is. And those adorable curls around her ears just make my heart sing. She's just so cute. And that moment of appreciation just allows my heart to open, it allows my mind to quiet, it focuses me, because you can't focus on two things at once. You can try multitasking, but you're basically doing what computers do. You're going back and forth between the two things. And if you can just allow yourself to focus on the exquisiteness of life. I just looked at her face and I saw an angel there. I have a postcard from Paris. I don't remember which angel it is, but one of the beautiful murals. Maybe it was London. Anyways, it was 30 years ago. Who cares? I brought home this picture of an angel, and her face just looked like the Vanya did in the three quarters. That feeling of when you appreciate something and you spend 17 seconds at it, law of attraction brings you a thought like it and expands it. And I just demonstrated that. You know, I went from how beautiful she is and how curly her hair is to that picture of the angel with the curly hair and the exquisite skin and the radiant light. And she's got that chair behind her is like a little halo. It's all just so perfect, you know. And life is perfect. There is something perfect in every moment if we just allow ourselves to open and expand and recognize that perfection that's right here. And so I came across another reading from my second book. I haven't published this one. And what I love about the fact that I wrote the books 5 years ago, most of them, and I haven't reread them a lot. So I've forgotten some of the stuff that's in there. And I was looking through the book for another reason, and I came across this reading that was so perfect for this talk, but it also made my heart sing because it reminded me of the perfection of how well I connect with Source and move information into the time-space reality. I'm good at that. And it helps me to remember that I'm good at that. So I appreciate your letting me share this feeling for myself of, yeah, I'm good at that. It's like maybe Michael playing a song that he wrote a long time ago that he hadn't played for a while and saying, that's pretty good. I like that one. I like this one a whole lot. And I was so grateful to be reminded of it. I said, the beloved, one time I wrote the phrase, colors of love. Someone asked me what it meant, and I said it felt like flavors of joy. I use the phrase, flavors of joy. I keep stretching to find ways to speak about these signature vibrations you said I can perceive, but don't yet have words for. So I'm guessing you can do a much better job of defining colors of love than I can be. Am I right? And they said, oh yeah. We love the phrase and we love that you're inspired to ask us about it. You already have thought through learning to perceive more color in your world. You described seeing the world first as black and white, then exploring shades of gray, perhaps not 50. B didn't say that, I added that. From there you expand to seeing primary colors, and from primary colors you begin to see the 16 color palette of the original computers, and then millions of colors available to be mixed from all the other shades, tints, and hues. You are moving in the same progression about expanding and sensing love. You are learning to feel the signature vibration of groups you are attending. Different people also express their love at different signature vibrations. Just a small stretch is required to compare them to colors. One's love is peaceful, restful, and detached. That's a pastel blue love. Another's love is cheerful, bright, and upliftingly yellow. A third is a fiery, passionate red, while a fourth is an innocent, gentle, sweetheart pink. Once you become discerning enough to see the signature vibrations clearly, you'll discover that the various moods of the individual then color their love different shades. I said, awesome, B, I do see. Once I got the idea of colors, I could sense a particular friend as a comforting, grounded, earthy brown, or a lively, vivid, prolific spring green. I love colors, B. I love the colors of love. Thank you. I am loved. And they said, you're welcome, C. We love feeling your imagination fire with the joy of a new linguistic experience. Do you see how putting words to a previously inarticulate feeling helps you become more aware of what you're sensing? I said, yes, every person I think of suddenly has more vivid qualities. This one feels warm, cozy, secure, and serene, like the summer blue of a Wyoming sky. This one feels joyful, sparkly, and effervescent, like sunlight glinting on the spray of an ocean wave. And maybe some people feel more like music than colors. One may be simple at first, but get richer with repetition. Another makes me want to stand with awe and respect, like the Hallelujah Chorus. There's no end to the potential analogies you can find to describe what you're perceiving, B said. I said, what color am I, B? They said, millions of colors. The colors others perceive in you depends on the color they're looking through. Some are looking through a filter that clashes with almost all the other colors, including yours. When you look through a filter of grace, your filter brings out the beauty in all the other colors you encounter in others. You see their uniqueness and purity clearly. I said, yet another reason to don my filter of grace. That's exciting. I want to see the divine colors of all my friends. I want to feel the harmonies and nuances of their individual songs, too. And B said, you'll notice differently because of this conversation. Your sensitivity is increasing in wonderful ways. I said, there was a time in my life when my sensitivity felt like a curse. Now it feels like a gift. And B said, that's why so many people are depicted in literature as tormented. Until you learn to focus your attention to love, the fear and anger in the culture around you distort your perceptions. That hurts. I said, I'm glad you are guiding me to see the colors of love, B. And they said, we're glad you're showing up willing and eager to learn and to love. We love being your bee, your beloved. And so we are blessed with this opportunity to feel and to sense. And we have these senses that are so precise, you know, as we're children. Our families tell us what we're perceiving, and maybe you can remember the film of Helen Keller where they were telling her what she was perceiving, and she learned to sign the words for what she was perceiving, and it was like this huge light went on in her mind and her heart when, even though she couldn't see, all of a sudden she could sense what was around her that had been so confusing before. And the more we get sensitive to perceiving at subtler and subtler vibrations, the more we have the capacity to appreciate and love life. We just are moving into higher vibrations and raising our consciousness to see the beauty and wonder of what's around us all the time. And that is an incredible gift. And I had a powerful experience. The other night, I was at the Folk Club of Reston Herndon, which I've been going to almost every week for something like 14, 15 years. And I've been so blessed because I went with Kate for years and years, and we sat with Felicia for a while, and then Ed started coming, and Peg started coming, and each of these people moved through my life, and now I go with Chet every week, and it's just such a joy to see my friends there and to experience being there. And this past week, after 14 or 15 years, I had a really different experience of being there. And it was so funny. I got there early, and there was hardly anybody there, and Bill was there setting up the stage, as he does every week. And Bill's the stage manager, and he tells everyone what to do. And everybody just does it because everybody's so grateful he does what he does, and he's good at it. And he said to me, I want you to sit in Dave's seat tonight. Dave's the treasurer. He has the best seat in the house. He sits just to the left of the stage, right on top of the musicians. I'd never sat in that seat. Dave sits in that seat every time. And I sit in a seat against the wall, and my feeling about the folk club is that I'm the audience. Although at least once a month, they're an MC for the show because Dave assigns me to do that. I don't think of myself as being an intrinsic member of the group because it's about music and I'm not really a musician. I sing once every few years, but that's all. And so I feel a little removed, and I sit against the wall where I'm sitting a little removed, and Bill invited me to sit in the engagement seat, where I felt like I was part of the band. And it was a most amazing night. The music was fabulous, and one group of musicians after another got up, and Niels was playing the bass, and he's getting better and better at playing the bass, and he can play with anybody doing anything if they give him the chords they're playing. And he got up and he played with all these people, and the bass gave so much more depth to the experience. And I was noticing that where I was sitting, it was in direct line with the sound man, and the sound coming out of the speaker was perfect to my ear, where against the wall I don't get the perfect sound. And I could hear some of the sounds coming from the guitars and stuff that weren't being picked up on the microphone, so I was getting the live feeling, and I was sitting close enough to kind of vibrate with the harmonies that were being sung. I was rapturous. I had an experience unlike any other experience I've had in 15 years at the folk club. And I was describing this to my practitioner, who is a riot, on Thursday, Reverend Maria Clemente. Some of you know her. She's spoken here and has been around. She's been my practitioner for 15 years. And so I'm describing this experience of my shifted perspective of the folk club. And she said, well, you know, science of mind is change your thinking, change your life. All you have to do is change your seating, change your life. And I got it, that when I sat there, I was engaged and conscious and aware and present in a way that I'm not when I'm removed and I'm against the wall. Hey, sweetheart. Want a ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's always something to play with around. Life is good. And even when you've been doing something for 15 years, there's always a new way to see it and experience it and love it and be in it and find that perspective, find that filter, appreciate at a new level and feel that energy rise. And it's just a joy to allow your experience to change, especially when it's familiar. So we remove that familiarity breeds blindness, and we get to the point where we can experience, hi sweetheart, we can experience that familiarity can breed joy. Familiarity can breed wonder. Bunch of colors? Yeah, lots of colors. We can experience that wonder is our daily life. And boy, in the springtime, don't you have that experience? You drive around a corner and you see some flowering trees that the day before weren't flowering. Or you see some flowers, fields of daffodils. I mean, I go around a corner and I see something fresh and new and juicy. And I think, whoa, life is good. So easy for life to be good in the spring for me. So I trust that life is good for you as well, that there is always something beautiful to see, that our lives are unfolding, and that we are learning to choose. We are allowing ourselves to claim our power, to decide what it means, to see it differently from a new perspective, to change our seating and change our life. And so it is.
So it is. So it is.